May I speak in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So it's wonderful to be with you on this most holy of nights, when we celebrate afresh the birth of Christ in our lives and give thanks for the love that he has shown to us. So I was wondering what your tradition was with regards to opening Christmas presents. Now, I know in some European countries, they open presents on Christmas Eve. Now, do any of you do that? Anybody open presents on Christmas Eve? My goodness, one. And, at the earlier service, there were 650 people, and again, only one? Someone around there? German background. Yeah, a German background there too. But in England, so when I grew up, we had this tradition of Father Christmas would come and leave stockings. And then, I mean, it was just agonizing because we then went to church. We then had a very long Christmas lunch and we didn't open the main presents until well into the afternoon. And by which stage we were practically traumatized. And my brother has continued this tradition with his own family. And last Christmas, his younger son, who was about 7 or 8, actually threw up. He was so nervous about waiting for this. Now, I have 2 kids, and they're teenagers, and I have to say, they didn't throw up last Christmas, but they have very strong ideas about Christmas presents and about the nature of them. And the first, number one rule is, they want to have a big say in what their main present is. But they also demand that there are surprises as well. I don't know, does this ring bells with other parents? Yes, I see nods. But this element of wanting certainty, but also an element of surprise, speaks to us, I think, about the nature of Christmas. And it also speaks to us about the nature of our ongoing relationship with God. That on the one hand, at Christmas, we long to hear certainty and reassurance. We long to hear again the message proclaimed to us that God is with us. No matter what the world throws at us, no matter what happens with our lives, we long to hear the message that God will be with us, that God's love lasts through everything. But on the other hand, we also come wishing to hear, I think, something new. We come here wishing to hear something fresh that God may be speaking to us. Last Christmas, Margaret invited a professor from Boston College to come and speak to us just before Christmas, and he talked to us about the gospel stories from John's gospel and Matthew's gospel. And what he reminded us was that the stories from the birth narratives of Christ that are so reassuring and so precious to us, the birth of this baby in a manger to an unwed mother surrounded by shepherds and angels, which to us is so reassuring, and what we come to hear again was something infinitely surprising to those first Christian people. And this baby grew up to be the Son of God in a way that nobody possibly imagined. And his life was one of helping people to see afresh and with surprising new eyes the plan that God had for people. He broke down barriers between people. He reminded us that we are called to love each other as much as we love ourselves. He preached a gospel of infinite forgiveness, a gospel of God's love that had no end to it, that shocked not only the people around him, but even his own disciples were shocked by this. But to us, in this church this evening, this isn't the surprising news. This is the reassuring news we come to hear. It's like the pair of slippers that we know Aunt Flo will give us each Christmas. It's like that sweater, we know and we expect to hear it. But for people who are not brought up as Christians, for people who have not been brought up in countries that have at least a vestige of Christian culture, all this is surprising news. I remember once in England meeting a man from an Eastern country who had converted to Christianity from another Eastern religion. And I'm always fascinated to know why people convert from the religion of their birth to another religion, whatever that religion may be. So I asked him, why did you convert to Christianity, particularly when so many Western people are converting to Eastern religion? Why did you convert to Christianity? And he said that he'd been brought up with this sense that every time he sinned, it added yet another layer to the karmic cycle of birth and rebirth, and he felt utterly weighed down by this sense of almost spiritual depression by this sense. And then he heard the message of Christ proclaimed to him. He heard this gospel of forgiveness, this gospel that says that every time we sin, if we go to Christ and ask for forgiveness, it will be granted to us. And that every day we get a chance of new beginning. And to him, it was the surprising good news that unfettered his life and his soul. So I wonder, what surprising gift does God have for us this Christmas? Now, I don't know what it's like in your household with under the tree, but in our household, if there are any surprise gifts, I will come down and I will find a member of my family holding the gift, rattling it around, trying to figure out what it is. I have to tell you that when I was first married, just before our first Christmas, I actually discovered my wife going through the cupboards to find out what surprise gifts I had bought her. I was amazed by this. So I'm going to do a bit of speculating about what this surprise gift for God might be for us this year. I'm going to try to do that thing of working out what the surprise might be. So I was talking to one of our church wardens, and I asked him, you know, what did he plan to get his wife for Christmas this year? And he said, well, you know, we have enough things. And so, and I preached the same sermon at 5 o'clock, and he was signaling to me, shut up, don't let on. And he said, I'm not going to get her a thing, but I'm going to get her an experience. And I know, and actually in our household this year, two of us are getting experiences for Christmas. Both my daughter and I are getting the gift of going back to England at some point this year. So we're getting an experience rather than a gift. So that might be, tell us one thing, an experience rather than a thing, I think is something that God might be giving us as the nature of this surprising thing. The other thing is that I've been talking to a lot of you over the last few weeks, and one of the things that people have said to me is that their real hope and wish for Christmas, and as they think about the new year, is the thing they wish for and hope for most of all is that some of the toxic divisions and divisiveness in our country and in our world might be healed. They said that is a gift that they would love most of all, to see us come together again as a people, to try to overcome the things that have divided us so much in the last months. And this sentiment has really put in mind to me a wonderful sermon I heard just after 9/11, just before the first Christmas after 9/11, back in 2001. It was back in England, and the preacher was the chief rabbi of England. I don't think we have a chief rabbi in this country, but in England there's a figure, the chief rabbi, and he is a representative of English Jewry, and he is a much respected national figure. At that time, the guy was someone called Dr. Jonathan Sacks. And he was speaking to a group of Christian and Jewish clergy. And he talked about the nature of heroism. And he said that the world was badly in need of heroism. And I can't help but feel that we're badly in need of heroism as well. And he spoke about heroism in these terms. He said, an ancient Jewish sage asked the question, who is a hero? Is a hero the man who kills the enemy? No, answered the sage. The hero is the man who turns the enemy into a friend. He then asked us to think about the image of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 11, the book of Isaiah. And this is a chapter which we read in the Christian church in the period of Advent as we lead up to Christmas. And in particular, he asked us to think about the image in that chapter, image of the world that God has for us, an image that is characterized most poignantly by the idea of the wolf and the lamb lying down together. And then he asks us, when was the last time in the scriptures that a wolf and a lamb lay down together? When was the last time the wolf and the lamb lay down together in the scriptures? Okay, I'm going to ask the question. I see a hand in the front row. When was it? Well done. So, in fact, in the earlier service, again, it was the church warden was the only person who knew the answer. So perhaps you're a church warden in the making there. So the last time that the lion or the wolf and the lamb lay down in the Holy Scriptures was in Noah's Ark. And the chief rabbi went on to say that it may be a beautiful ideal for the wolf and the lamb to lie down together, but the image of the wolf and the lamb lying together in Noah's Ark reminds us that it may be a matter of mutual survival that we learn to do this. And so I wonder whether the gift that God is giving us, the surprise gift he's offering us this year, is not a thing. It's not about us waiting for someone else to be the hero that crosses the divisions in our society. It's not about God doing this himself. But rather, the message of Christmas is that Christ was born among us so that we as individuals would be the heroes, that we would be the people who would be the people who brought light and life and would overcome the barriers in our society, the divisions. Towards the end of the service, we're going to dim the lights in the church, and we're going to ask each of you to light the individual candles that you have, and we're going to sing Silent Night. And it's a beautiful moment. It's a rather sentimental moment. But this year, I'd like you to, as you sing and as you look around, to open your heart to God and to pray to the Lord, saying, Lord, help me recognize the enemy in my life that I need to turn into my friend. Help me think of the situations where I am called to be the hero who overcomes the divisiveness in the situations of my life. Don't wait for someone else to do it, but Lord, make me that person. Pray that prayer really hard. Think about that. And maybe reflect on that as you think about your spiritual resolutions for the new year. Because above all, God is calling us to be the lights in the world who bring Christ's presence to everyone in our globe. Amen.